5, we're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Is this supposed to go
open
this
meeting acts posted on the southeast corner of the wall. If you'd all rise and with us and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Double in this thing.
I guess I did the open meeting act already. So the open meeting act's posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Old habits are hard to break. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which consists of the general agenda, approved meetings, minutes of meeting held February 23rd, approve all claims through March 9th in the amount of $252,150.32, approve and place on file correspondence received, approve bonds for various township officials.
I would make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, 1 through 5.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Fred, name and address for the record.
Fred Beekman, 2400 Elk Street, Beatrice, Nebraska. I got two little things I'd like to get. I don't know where to handle them. First item, I was hauling gravel for 30 years, aggregate to Gage County. Marlon, he took it upon himself. He filed a lien on my bond or a complaint, and it's never really went anywhere. It's went to the bonding company, and it's been hanging out there for pretty near 4 years, 3.5. I'd like to either get to court and get it done or make some agreement why they can't release it. And we never had very good luck before with the establishment we had prior, you know, so we thought maybe.
Rogers, you, who you need to work with
all right,
on that.
So. Second question. I got a rock quarry. We've been in a rock business down there by Barnston. We got the quarry results. We've had we put that quarry in for the railroad and the Corps of Engineers. We've done that big job in Marysville. It lasted for 4 years. And we tried to sell the county some rock, but Marlon never tested it, never drove a truck in the quarry. He tells everybody it's no good. But I got the results. And I think the county board should maybe look into some of these projects we got going on. Hauling rock from Weeping Water, $4 diesel fuel, high-priced rock. And we wonder why we don't have any money in Gage County. Maybe the board should oversee our highway department a little bit, take some interest in it, see where our money's going, what we're doing down there. The gravel business is kind of out of control. We're buying a lot of substandard gravel. And I'd also like to have him show me that rock and gravel is supposed to be tested on a periodic basis. And I'm saying it hasn't been tested for a long time.
Do you have your density report that you could get a copy of? Just leave one with the clerk.
All right. Got it right here. Just a new one. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Anything else for the comments from the public, requests for future agenda items? Trevor with AmeriCom, you're up. Trevor's jumping the agenda a little bit due to a family emergency, so.
Basically, I'm here to talk about we're the communications vendor for the courthouse, meaning telephone system, voice data, cabling, paging, other things. Here to talk about a discussion, I guess, that started maybe a couple years ago with Don about the Windstream phone bill. And the new services that Windstream were providing that would make your telecom system more efficient, as well as save you money off your monthly bill. It's been brought to my attention that you guys were after the people here in the courthouse. We're looking for features such as caller ID, some other advanced features, additional DID, direct lines. The telephone system in place is fully capable of doing all those things. At the time, Windstream didn't provide that sort of service. It is now available, and I provided you guys a copy of the Windstream contract.
Trevor, I'm the one that, I guess, questioned about when it says that you're going to receive savings. Is that in writing?
Well, the contract is with you guys, with Gage County and Windstream. So that'd be a question better suited for Windstream. I'm just kind of the mediator that kind of facilitated this process for you guys.
Okay.
But it does say for sure your long distance is going to go from 9 and 7 cents a minute down to 4. They're going to give you a block of 2,000 free minutes with the new service package, and then anything over 2,000 minutes goes to 4 cents a minute. So for sure you're going to clearly save on long distance charges. The monthly service as far as access for local and long distance, you're going to go from about 16 access lines to 23. Your contracted rate is definitely lower. So, you know, I can't tell you what as far as billing, because that billing comes from Windstream. I just kind of facilitated this for you guys and looked into it for you.
Okay.
And I provided what needed to happen on the phone system to make this cut over.
And for background, we need more lines. Dave, are you? Yeah, you're in here. He's out of lines, so we have to purchase something to get more lines, whether we go with an upgraded card, if you call it, or the old standard. So.
And really what you have today is old technology as far as what's coming in to the building. You have plain old telephone, they call them POTS lines, plain old telephone service, just like what you'd have at your house. And there's just numerous ones where it rolls from one to another. You also have analog DID circuits, which not very many people use today. They are prone to lightning strikes, surges. We've had several cards get knocked out just because of the type of service it is. What this is a PRIT one, gives you 23 channels. So you go from 16 to 23 for simultaneous telephone conversations, and then the ability to add direct lines. So, and that's what you guys are out of.
And over the years, we used to have the old analog style, and we keep replacing the old phones with the new Toshiba phones, and that would be the digital phone. So that's where, just over the past couple of years, you know, we've added a lot more digital lines to the building. So, and then, I don't know when the last time, it's been a little while ago, we added a block of 20 new DID numbers, and, you know, over a couple of years' time, if all the outbuildings and stuff add one line here or there, it does, it's taken all those up.
Every fax takes one of those lines, everything like
that. What we're talking about doesn't necessarily concern physical telephone sets. It's basically the access into the building, how you guys make calls and receive calls. You will now, with this new service, you'll get caller ID, name, and number on every call in, where Windstream couldn't provide that service before on what you currently had. So.
Okay. Terry?
As far as cost and compared to where we were and where we'd be going, what would be the difference there? Any idea on that?
You know, the only thing I could do is look at an estimate of what you're going to cancel as far as what the new service is. $945 plus $72 for a block of free long. It's not really free, but they're giving you 2,000 minutes of long distance for $72. So that together, you're looking at $1,017. I think the last bill was over $3,000. Right around $3,000 or more. But the other thing that doesn't take into consideration is you guys have what's called off-premise extensions, which are like circuits that run to all these various places, you know, the off-site.
Yeah.
Which, by doing this, we can start to clean up some of that stuff, too, because there's overkill as far as what's going out there. There's a lot of things just from the last, you know, these have been in place 50 years before we even came into the picture 20 years ago. So, you know, a lot of that will be able to be cleaned up, too. So the initial cost savings, like I said, I can't tell you because nothing's being billed from Americom. I'm just kind of acting on your behalf to get information about this service.
Well, what it appears is from about $3,000 a month to $1,000 a month, we're looking at approximately a $2,000 a month savings.
I wouldn't say that because that doesn't take into consideration the off-premise extensions. Those will still have to stay in place.
And those are included in the $3,000?
Yeah. So whatever they're charging you today for all of those circuits will stay. What this does is you have 16 or so dedicated lines here, and you have some analog DID circuits. It replaces that. You were paying about, is it $35 a month, safe to say, per line?
I think that's about right.
So if you take, you know, roughly, I don't know, 24 total, as far as DID circuits? And
I don't know. Dave, how many do you think we have?
Was your last bill right around $3,000?
Yeah, it's over $3,000.
Over $3,000. So, you know, you're going to save money. There's no doubt about it. Just by looking
I guess my question is, maybe it's unreasonable, but why aren't we getting a comparison from Windstream, from Americom? Why are we just saying, hey, here, do this? And you're not giving us any comparison on these are the numbers. This is what you're doing. This is where you're doing it. And this is what we're projecting. Why don't we have that?
That's something you could get from Windstream. You can pull it right off the bill, too. You can see exactly what you're paying today.
I would think if I was selling somebody something and they were my customer, I would be here presenting to them.
And that's a good point. I can't, you know, I'm here to talk about how it integrates with the phone system, too. So, like I said, we're not billing.
Okay.
I'm concerned with what happens within the building. You've had this service for a number of years coming in. I know from the experience I have in the business that once you hit a certain point of 12 or 14 lines, economically, it makes sense to go to this type of service. And now it's available for you. So that's why I had Windstream provide a quote.
Matt.
So is there an infrastructure change that needs to be made here that Americom would do?
There is a card and a license that we would need to put into the system. And I gave Don a price of $1,550 and just estimated the labor at $400. We bill you just for our time. You know, if it takes less than that, we certainly bill you less as far as labor.
So the $1,950 would allow us to move to a new service that would potentially give us a savings of some amount.
Exactly.
$3,000 to the $1,000, $1,100 is what it is. So it would take us a month or two to pay off the upgrade, basically.
Yeah, the equipment-wise, yeah. Anything from us is a one-time charge.
So then the infrastructure change is Americom, but the service was still maintained through Windstream. But the way I understand it is with the new infrastructure and the new program through Windstream is where we're really going to save.
Right.
So that's upgrading the infrastructure of a phone system so that Windstream can provide us a better and cheaper service.
Right.
Myron,
when are you looking at doing this, or how long does this take? Or
you know, Windstream says within 30 days. They'll give us a due date. We can come whenever they give that due date. So, you know, it's anywhere from 15 to 30. I'd say, worst case scenario, 30 days is how long it takes to make this change. And it's something that we would do after 5 so it does not interrupt business.
I think we had a proposal, a year or 2 years ago, but it was with a different phone carrier instead
right.
of Windstream, and that conflicted with Mark and the 911 agreements that they kind of have with Windstream. So he didn't want to change from Windstream. He wanted to stay with Windstream because of those agreements. So now this is a better, you know, billing rate, I guess, if you want to say that, from Windstream now, and it won't affect Mark's 911.
We're, you know, there's no conflict of interest here with Americom and Windstream. I'm just here to tell you that in my professional opinion and working with your guys' system for 13 years, I can tell you that it's a good service. And, you know, I definitely think you're going to save money. Now, back to his question as far as how much, that's a question for them.
Okay, thank you.
Any more discussion? Need a motion to approve or disapprove the contract? And Roger has reviewed the contract.
Yes.
The contract is with
Americom.
Windstream.
Windstream.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Windstream? Okay.
There's no contract with Americom.
It's equipment from Americom, but it's
okay.
A contract for Windstream.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to illustrate, is there's going to be a cost to improve the infrastructure so that we can enter into a new contract for a better rate. So the contract with Windstream will be changing, but there's going to be an infrastructure cost up front of about $2,000.
There's the 3-year contract, I think, is what they proposed to you. So you have a new 3-year contract with Windstream.
Theory.
I guess my thought, and I don't know if anybody else is thinking this, but my thought is I would like to see, before we vote on anything, I would like to see what Windstream's charges are going to be as opposed to what they are now. Because what he's saying is it's not going to be a 3,000 to 1,000 because you're going to have them outbuildings that we're still going to get billed for. What are we going to get billed for them? Is it going to make up another $1,500? You know, is it going to be a 3,000 to 2,500? I guess, to me personally, I'd like to see just exactly where the numbers are going to come close to anyway.
Is it time sensitive? Could we wait a couple weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're working fine the way you are today. It's just that you can't add anything right now, kind of.
We can kick them back 2 weeks. It's not an issue.
I mean, not that I want to stall it, but I just...
No, if it's not time sensitive, it don't matter.
Nobody's here that can really give us the answer as to where we're at.
If, Mr. Chairman, if we stayed under the old contract, would we still need to do the infrastructure upgrade anyway?
No.
We would have to buy a new card. Right.
And what are those?
You'd have a different type of service. So the IDs, $27.50 per line, I think, is what Windstream charges. You'd need probably four more of those. Plus, there would be a card from us that we need to add because you're currently full. So I guess the reason this came up is why purchase a new card when it's old technology instead of put that money towards the new technology, which is a better service.
I guess if we want to move forward, we need to upgrade the technology. Yeah, if we want to move forward, we can go. It would be nice to see the numbers, maybe even post-mortem.
I think the intent, I mean, my understanding is they're intense. If we got to wait 2 weeks, if it's not time sensitive.
On the low, very low.
Will Windstream have our information in 2 weeks? Historically, they're very slow.
I wouldn't count on that.
Yeah. I'm going to say we could be waiting a long time for that information.
It took me probably 2 months to get this quote or the contract. So.
Yeah. So my thoughts are we progress forward and move on. So
I would agree with that. We, even though I have some, like Gary, I have some questions, but I agree. You're trying to do your best for us, and we really appreciate that very much. Don't mean to get on your back because of Windstream, but I do think we need to make a request of Windstream to have an agenda item to have them appear before this board, whether it's in 2 weeks or 4 weeks, to tell us what their charges are, explain their contract to us. I think that's a reasonable thing to ask of them. But I would. I think we should approve the contract also. You want a motion?
Yes.
I would move.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you.
Don, the other thing was the battery. I don't know. Did you bring? Is that something to bring up here? The UPS?
No, I think he
already handled it. Okay.
Yeah, I think he can take care of that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Marlon, Highway Superintendent report.
Morning.
Morning.
Going right into the business, there's a couple resolutions in your packet for relaxation of standards on these federal aid bridges. The next two up is the Philly North and the N. Wymore. These were designed before September of 2008. And that's when they changed the design to the HL93 loading instead of HS20 loading. And this is a thing we have to take care of so all the paperwork's in proper order. To go back and redesign it to an HL93 would take a long time. So, and there's two resolutions on two different bridges.
Matt.
Relaxation of standards. Maybe it's a semantics game. Anything that would add to or change public safety regarding that? Could you make a comment regarding that?
No. The HL93 has got more to do with the guardrails. I guess that would involve a little safety, but and that beefs up some of the standards a little bit. These HS20 bridges are... there's no weight limit restrictions on them. So.
Nothing that stands in the way of us relaxing these? We're
in order to build the bridges, you have to relax the standards because the standards have changed since we designed them. You know, they were started in 90s. 7, I think, in Wymore. I don't know when the Philly one was started. So if we went with HS 93 rating, we'd have to go back and redesign everything.
So relaxing the standards just has to do with the way it'll be engineered so we can move forward with
right,
it.
Okay. Right.
I would make a motion to approve, but I don't have resolution numbers in front of me.
Resolution 11-07 for the first one.
You want to do them? Yeah, let's do them individually.
I'll second it.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Dorn for resolution 1107. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Resolution 1108.
Make a motion to approve resolution 1108.
Need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Relaxation of standards for resolution 1108. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
The next thing I got is approve or disapprove attending a zoning conference in Grand Island. That's a Nebraska Planning and Zoning Conference. I haven't heard of any Planning Commission members that they usually will sign up for one or maybe sometimes 2 days of it.
Okay, need a motion to approve or disapprove you and Nancy?
Probably. I don't know for sure on Nancy yet.
I'd make a motion to approve Marlon and one other.
Administrator's
don't need
assistant.
An administrator to attend the conference in Grand Island, March 30th and the 1st.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
The next one is approve or disapprove Weed Superintendent Spring Training Conference in Hastings, March 29-30.
I would make a motion to approve that attendance of that conference.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Do we know what the cost of that will be?
The Weed Conference?
Yeah.
That's
a two-day.
Yeah, it's like 115, I think, registration,
and that's
probably two nights, and that'd be just one person.
And that'll just be our weed superintendent. That'll be Emily. Yeah, there's $396 in that training budget for weed left. So,
okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Next thing is approve attending NDR bridge training for highway department personnel. I've got down to probably three inspectors will be going. There's one that has a conflict. The state NDR is picking up the registration fee, which is, I think, 90 to, depending on whether he went for both days or not. They're looking into reimbursing for the rooms. We haven't got approval on that yet, but... So,
where's the conference? And
it's
when
in
is the conference?
Kearney. I think I copied it to you in an earlier board report. I don't have it with me today. I think it's April 11th and 12th in Kearney.
I'd make a motion to approve
NDOR training.
Yeah.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
But we had spoken about this, I think, a month ago in Road and Bridge. Mm-hmm. I think the general consensus was this would probably be the last training that would take place this
this fiscal year.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Just in conferences in general. Marlon has mentioned two-night stay on a lot of these two-day conferences, and we're only talking an hour and a half away. If we're starting at 8 in the morning, there's no reason that we shouldn't be driving up and spending one night on hotel, personally, just in conferences in general, my personal feelings.
I think Kearney's about
That's a little over 2 hours, but that's still not that far away.
Yeah.
I get up every morning at 5. I'm pretty sure we can get up 5 o'clock and make it to somewhere.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
The next thing I got is my report on the road vacate. In that report also included the basically it's page 5 of your report. It's kind of describes the road. It's a township road. The Adams Township is responsible for this portion of the road, and I haven't got a letter from them yet, but I'm hearing they support the closure. And the average daily traffic on this road was 43, and with the traffic counts, I noticed there was a couple peak times, and it was basically during shift change and correlated with when the ethanol plant opened and closed for business. So I'm saying a lot of them traffic counts on north of there, we're talking 10, 11 ADTs on Ash Road. And so it tells me that a lot of that traffic coming in there was going to the ethanol plant. So, and then also in closing this or setting up the vacate, it was basically what we're doing or having a hearing on it then. This road closure would eliminate a non-single rail crossing, which would make it a little safer. So, and my recommendation is to go ahead with the closure.
Okay. Need a motion to approve or disapprove setting the resolution date.
I would make a motion to approve setting the resolution date and time for a public hearing.
Correct.
What day would that be? Can we set that now? Or
that would be
October.
April
6th. Pretty early, don't you think?
And thanks for catching that, Don. I made a mistake. I had the 9th and then April 6th. So I don't know if that would have confused anybody or not. But
your copies say that, but they're right. They're
so April 6th would be the... Is that a month? Is that the...
That allows us to advertise 3 weeks and then have the hearing.
Okay.
At 9:30, I think.
Seconded.
Seconded by Dorn. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Dorn for a public hearing April 6th for the...
Resolution 11-09.
11-09 resolution. Any more discussion?
Closing the road, what does that do with the issue of the ground, that triangle piece of ground?
Well, the road vacate is an issue, and the ground, talking with engineers and stuff, it's a permanent easement, so we'll have to give up some of that easement, and I've got that in the description, but he said to keep 55-foot distance from the center of the road, so we'll have to have that. They've got all the surveying, and they can change that to where we get a legal description. So,
but will that require a separate passage? I mean, that's not included in these resolutions, or is that?
That's some easement that isn't a road now. So it's not the same issue as like vacating a road that people are using, but it's still an issue. It's like the one coming up on Hanover. There's an issue with some property that the county owns that'll have to be dealt with.
Have to be dealt with then at that time. Okay.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0.
The next resolution is approve or disapprove setting a date and time of hearing for a railroad crossing, which is kind of the same issue. If you close the road, you won't need the crossing there. There's an email in there I got from NDOR from Ellis Tompkins. It's page 8. Basically, once we have the hearing and the board passes a resolution to close it, we send them that resolution and they'll fair the agreement, and that's when we get reimbursed for the closing cost and plus $5,000 from the state and $5,000 from BNSF.
Okay.
It's resolution 11-10.
11-10. Need a motion to approve or disapprove, setting date and time for public hearing, resolution 11-10.
I'll make a motion to approve setting the resolution, or a resolution setting the date and time for hearing, possible rail closing.
Okay.
Resolution 11-10.
11-10. Need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. The date, April 6th also?
Mm-hmm. That's
9:45. Okay. Any more discussion?
So just to clarify, we're not closing anything. We're just approving public hearings so we can move forward.
Correct.
Yes.
Vote. 7-0 to approve. What else, Marlon?
The next thing I have is this LB 98, and I talked to Matt about it a little bit. It was that bill that was introduced to take the federal money, and the state would take a portion of it and pass on the rest to the counties or local subdivisions. The intent of the bill was to pass 90% through. I haven't found it yet in my packet. Here it is. That bill was passed on March 4th. It's waiting for the governor to sign it. The problem, I guess there's always issues when the program will be at the discretion of NDOR. So it's basically in their hands then, which is anyway. But if we get some relief from the federal standards, there's a little different. If the state passes the money through and lets us build it to the HL 93 load rating, we can build bridges a lot cheaper than what they're designed at the federal and state specs. So, and I was just bringing that up. There's no action needed on that. It's just an update on that.
At Kearney, during the NACO meeting, there was a discussion about that, and they cut it short. And I think they should have continued to have discussion, because at first blush, you get a little bit scared when NDOR says, nothing that says we have to give you any money.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that says that they have to negotiate. They could just keep it all. So, but there is some sense that if they reduce the standards, that it will cost us less.
Right.
So that it does make sense. But my understanding was that Larry Dix from NACO was going to Nebraska NACO was going to try and negotiate some of this stuff. So hadn't heard anything since then, so I'm a little bit surprised that they just jumped and said it's not going to be.
Well, and that was the intent, like I said. Now, I read the whole bill, and I didn't see anything about 90% in it.
So it could be the intense 90, so people don't tear the walls down, and it could be 75.
Well.
So we don't know.
Yeah.
We haven't had any communication back, so.
Well, the bill, it's been passed. It's already gone past final reading. It's presented to the governor for his signature, so.
Take what we get, I guess. The next thing, I had a couple letters in your packet. I started working on some junkyards again. Basically, I changed the wordage a little bit to say that failure to do so will result in follow-up by the county attorney and law enforcement personnel. I did get a response from the one owner east of town, and he's going to send a letter about his plan. And I said, if you get a plan in place, I'll take it to the board and we'll see how that goes. The other one down be east of Barnston, I need to go back. I think these were sent out February 15th. I need to go back and see if there's any progress on that one. And then on any questions, I know we got a lot of them, but I think in order to get a process rolling, we start with two, enforce it, and then move on. I know a year ago I wrote probably 20 letters at one time, and it's hard to manage that many.
Matt?
Marlon, would it be a correct statement to say that it's not the board picking on anyone? These are actually places that citizens have made complaints about.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I think we should make that clear.
Right, and
we're not driving around looking for stuff.
Yeah, and the one down in Barneson was Barneson City Council was, concerned about it. And
so they're often a third party that says, hey, this is an issue, why don't you deal with it?
Right, and so, yeah. The next issue is trees and brush, and I did, I don't know where it came up, I don't know if it was Road and Bridge or at the township meeting, but that South 96 Road, and that's a county road, and there's a property in there about 40 acres that's evidently in bankruptcy. I went and looked at our portion of the road. It's a lot of small trees. I'm trying to contact whoever's receiver on that or handling it to see if we can get anything done, or that may be one we'll just have to go in there and do it. I don't know. The brush is small yet now, and it wouldn't be too hard to do, but it is a mess. Did you bring that up, Myron? I think
no, that was brought up at the township meeting the other night. One of the township board members
up
there.
Yeah, because it involved both the township and us. So.
Yeah, and the east road is a county
right.
road, and the south road of that property is a township road.
That's about all I have other than crews. We're getting along pretty good on the Philly barn with that remodeling there. Asphalt crews still sealing cracks whenever it's dry. And of course, dirt crews started doing some maintenance on culverts and stuff, putting riprap in and stuff like that. So, and we are coming up with a plan for the do something at the highway department for a little better bathroom and a meeting room that we'll try and accomplish ourselves. Any questions?
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Deb Wendland. Okay, Wes and Jerry, you're up on the hot seat. Question and answer on the courthouse project, I guess, where we're at, what's left.
Well, I'll give you some slack, but everybody else had our updated strategic master plan. And I think if you read the first section in there, which is the update, you'll have a really good idea of where you're at. You're a long ways down the road compared to where you were a few years ago when we started this project. And I was visiting with Wes a little bit, looking at all the new faces from when this started. Wes, actually, I think, Rex, you may be the only one that's on the board that was when I started, which was obviously before the contractor. So I really encourage you, if you haven't read this, to take a good look at it, because the board that was present at the time that we were hired had us look at the building very, very thoroughly. And we projected a project of over $10 million. And if you read this report, you're more than 50%, and you've spent less than half of the budget that we had projected. A lot of that is really due to the very diligent work of your building committee, Cheever Construction, and several other contractors that have been under contract with you that Wim and I have been coordinating and helping you down the path. And it was kind of interesting to listen to the gentleman with the phone company. You're set to go forward. You're set for new technology. You got a lot of stuff ahead of you, but you've made some really great strides. And those of you that are new on the board, you got some pretty big shoes to fill, because the past board has been doing a good job watching out for your building. I think the question at hand, and correct me if I'm wrong, is I have certified Cheever Construction's final pay request. We honestly believe that they are done, with the exception of this punch list. Some of you, I think most of you got it, but some of you indicated that you didn't get it from, we sent it out via email.
Open it on
we
some of
we didn't get it. We couldn't open the punch list. I don't think any of us, you couldn't get
nope.
it either, Gary.
Nope.
Well, let me pass that out then. The items in red
are not the responsibility of Cheever Construction. These are their items that will be in Dave's responsibility or other contractors. The punch list was created by Doug Patton, the on-site superintendent, and Dave Jones, of course, and Wynn Kirsten from my office. We have assurance that this work, when it was documented, it was March 3rd, that it would be done within the next 2 weeks following that. We're in the middle of that. And I think the key, while the immediate question may be, why are we paying them when the project isn't done? We have this list of maybe 25 items or so. The key is that we have all the paperwork done, which includes a key document called the consent of surety. In other words, we're still holding their bond. We can still go after the surety company to finish this up. It's kind of a paperwork issue. We'd like to thank Cheever Construction for their diligence and their hard work and get them paid and move forward with this. And I personally trust them to finish up this work. Wes, don't make a liar out of it.
I think one of the questions was in the claim, in those claims they were submitted, there wasn't anything itemized, so our finance committee didn't know exactly that this was a cleanup bill, that this was the last bill, and I think that's correct, right,
Matt? We didn't think of the bond, for one. I mean, that never... Yeah. No one explained the bond. We didn't think about that.
Well, that it's customary that remained in place for a year, 1 year warranty period. The items that you'll find when you take a moment to read through the list, they're relatively minor. It's patching of some holes where some last conduits were removed, some clarity that some of those things were done after we had in fact finished the work, and Dave had another subcontractor, somebody in here doing some work that took things off. That's what's noted in red. It's a matter of getting primarily the electrician down here for a number of items to fine-tune, adjustment on some light fixtures, I think, on the exterior, things of that nature. Some of you should have encountered Doug Patton, our superintendent, over the course of time that he was here. Doug's very diligent in his follow-up on this. And it's quite customary after a consent of surety that final payment is issued. It's... in our industry, then that begins a one-year warranty period, and it's quite often done at towards the end of that one-year warranty period. Another walkthrough is done to check for, anything that was in the original scope of work that may have been failing some. Mostly what we see is caulking joints or something of that nature, pretty minor. The performance of anything that was installed under our contract is covered before that warranty period. Obviously, any additional work that was, you think needs to be done that wasn't shown on the original scope of work wouldn't be encompassed in that. But it's anything that was in that original scope of work that we were asked to do, whether through original bid documents or through change orders.
Well, Don is aware of it also, but I noticed looking through here, her countertops have been, the Formica was broken during construction. I don't see those on the punch list. And those are new countertops.
Those are other items that I have more on my punch list than you guys show for my office. So.
And just for your office.
My own personal effects were
Have
damaged.
You communicated that to Wham at any point?
Yes,
or
I have.
Or to Doug? Okay.
I have. You.
Dave, do you have some knowledge of the countertop issue?
Yeah. I was. The other day it would have been when they were taking out the seething.
Damaged on two ends, actually.
Damaged. Some of the things I have discussed with WIM on this were countertops, some of the carpet, which wasn't on the punch list, but we have discussed some damage to our carpets. Even though they were 7 or 8 years old, they're still in pretty good shape, and we did have some stain and quite a bit of solder in certain areas. And I did talk to Rex about grill covers also. That was always a question up in the air. I know that those are an optional thing, but I think we thought that the complete unit should have had a grill cover on it. Otherwise, I feel Cheever's has been coming through and following up on a lot of things, and some of the things that they haven't followed up on yet, like the cracks, we do have some cracks appearing in the hallway, and they said that they would like to wait on certain things like that yet for a while to see if anything new appears and try and hit it all at one time. So, but there were, more things popping up, like Don said, in certain offices where might be small items, more items than what is on this punch list.
Well, Wes, now I'll take a look at your countertop specifically before we leave.
Well, I have personal items that were damaged. I have a typewriter that was damaged and can't be replaced. I took it to repairman, and they can't replace it. And that's my only typewriter that I have. And so now I'm going to have to buy a new typewriter, which I
How did that become damaged?
They dropped something on it and busted something in the inside, so it will not work at all. We had another one get damaged, and we took that, and they were able to repair that. But whatever they did in my office, they dropped something on it and broke it. It was sitting on my back counter. And I have a picture, Terry Redland picture, that was damaged, that my own personal stuff was damaged. My desk, part of my new desk, was damaged by ladders. There's some significant damage. I mean, it might not be one big thing, but there's several things that we have. Bucket of stain that was dropped over in my carpet, solder in my office. Wasn't there before, so.
Well, it's important those things get documented so we can address them. I certainly wasn't aware of that.
I mean, that's
that.
Just the things I can think of sitting here, you know.
Wilm was given the punch list on that.
Yeah.
We did that in building and grounds. So, I mean, it was conveyed 2 months ago, maybe three, at some point anyway.
Well, those are the type of things that should have made it to this list.
Yeah.
So I personally have a problem with anybody paying a last bill when I'm sitting here, and what kind of negotiation do I have if we paid you and well, personal stuff is damaged and guys walk out the door. So that's, sorry, but that's my feelings on it.
Well, as I said, we do have the consent of the surety for this final payment. And you do have a one-year warranty. There probably will be things that happen during the course of this next year that will be effectively punch list items. And Cheevers have performed terrifically throughout the whole life of the project. I think Dave.
I don't think there's any question on that or concern. You guys did do a good job. So, I mean, you did a good job.
We just want to make sure that things are documented so as we go down the road, so as you know these need to be corrected and taken care of. And so there's no big question. You say, well, no, we hadn't agreed to that. We need it covered.
We'll personally take a look at this before we leave today.
Yeah. Dave, anything else on that punch list that we need to get on there? Anything that's not on, we need to get on for the offices?
I think that's the important thing, Dennis, is to, you know, have one consolidated list of all the expectations that still remain out there so we can get them addressed, because that would be our intention.
We had office by office, right. Yeah, well, Matt and Don's got a question.
Just a point of paperwork. There's a certificate of surety for the window project that was attached here, but there's nothing for the final payment. Maybe that's what some of the concern was, is that there's no copy of...
I believe the certificate of insurance for the other job, the larger job, was received earlier.
And it could very well be.
I think the only one we have to close out is the second contract that we did with you.
Yeah, that's this one here. Yeah, right. That's for the windows. That's the $6,800. That
right.
one, yeah. I believe we paid in the claims.
Yeah,
today.
That one's paid in claims today.
So this
would
be
for
the $18,500. Is that the one that's hanging out there?
Mm-hmm.
That looks like the final. But they're just as I sit here, I didn't see it. And maybe they didn't see that in finance committee.
Yeah, that was part of the issue that we had in finance committee on.
Just didn't have the
that
there wasn't
probably
any...
was filed some months ago
at
the closeout of that original contract.
But there wasn't any documentation with it that said final payment or anything.
Well,
I mean, it was very vague as to what we were paying.
And you're right to be concerned with that. And Wes is correct. It was filed, I'm sure, several months ago. I can have Wim dig that out and fax it down so that it can be attached immediately, so we won't have to have go through the records and see if we can find it amongst the other paperwork.
So, Mr. Chairman, would it? I guess I would suggest that because we have new members and you got paperwork coming and going out of Don's office, maybe we kind of back up, get that surety statement with this, with the punch list, and kind of go back and rehash. And it sounds like we're just a few steps away from being together on this.
Yeah, we're close. Yeah.
Well, we just kind of, you know, there's a punch list you didn't know about that didn't get there that, you know, we're sure would have been included if there'd have, you know, so.
Yeah, well, we want to make sure the board is satisfied and that you have every confidence in your mind that things have been completed as they were supposed to be per contract. So if you're not at that comfort level yet, then we need to get those items clearly consolidated on one punch list. We'll get that punch list taken care of. Contact Wim or Dave. Have them.
I just talked to Wim yesterday about her countertops, so that if he went and talked to her. So
well,
I mean,
see, this is dated March 3rd. So that was, and the reason we brought this one is because this is the one that we tried to email to you guys, and apparently you couldn't open it. So
I have maybe in your eyes a silly question, but if you look at these raceways in here, why do you have a white raceway with yellow plugs? Everywhere in the courthouse,
Everywhere. We
have a white raceway with yellow plugs. And I just find it really strange to think that anybody put that in their own home like that. But you can see on that wall there's a white raceway with yellow plugs.
We've asked Wim that question.
And did you get an answer?
No.
No one has been able to answer, and I've asked several times why we
would
allow that.
So, I mean, it's not late in the game we're asking, and we asked it at some point.
I'll have to review the original specifications and make sure that they were followed, and then go strangle my electrical engineer.
It could be that he specified white raceways but still had an ivory outlet.
That's why.
Wouldn't
have
somebody
exactly
brought that to somebody's attention, say, hey, you know, this is going to stick out like this forever?
I mean, 50 years.
Well, we know this building's going to be around.
It might
for
be a woman
years.
Thing. I don't know, but you know, I sit there and I see it in my office every day, and I think, okay, white raceway to yellow plug. It just didn't
quite. Well, and I know too. I just might mention the other board members as well as contractors and your subcontractors and what have you, that friends of Gage County Courthouse are still attempting to raise a substantial amount of money to assist with remodeling of the courtrooms and all of the things that we've done. I just wanted to remind all of the contractors that any sizable contributions that might want to be made on your part, certainly the Friends of the Courthouse would be very appreciative, as they would of any board members that might want to do the same.
Okay, man.
Any other questions?
And he did all that without his tongue in his cheek.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the privilege of working with you.
Thank you. It looks nice. So, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
No. We have a timed event at 9:30. We're late, so I didn't see that. And
thank you.
In time. So, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Wes.
Need a motion open public hearing. The motion to open the public hearing at 9:37.
So moved.
For section 33 and 34, Hanover Township. Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. Support or opposition?
There are people in the hallway.
There's people in the hallway.
Yeah,
well, there's Dwayne.
Kim's been trying to keep track of them.
This is the Hanover Township closure. And is there a sign-up sheet?
Kim's got
it. Oh, Kim's got that. That's what she's going to run around with.
Kim, do you have anybody signed up on that one?
My name's Dwayne Party. I'm treasurer of Hanover Township Board. And we would like to vacate this road. Now, I noticed something. Now, we had the survey done by, maybe you know that all, Land Survey Tech Incorporated. They found out a lot of stuff I didn't know. The old, maybe you know all this stuff. Do you have all the information?
I don't remember.
We had it at one time. We don't have it with us today.
Okay. Yeah. What I've got here, it's between section 33 and 34. The old right-of-way was never vacated, so it's still there. There's an NRD pond on it. The right-of-way that, and what they did in 1920, I can't find anybody that remembers. They went to the half-mile line with 40-foot of easement that was deeded to the county. What they did in 1920 doesn't work in 2011. The road went past the half-mile line. I don't know how far, how many feet, where the bridge that's burned out, there's no easement for that part. Okay. There's no easement to have a road on that part of it. It was supposed to go from the half-mile line back west to the old right-of-way and proceed from there. So this thing is just a mess, I think. And one of the landowners, I've had no opposition to closing it. One of the landowners thought it'd be a good thing to close it because people play with their chemistry sets down in there. And it's just, and if we could, I would like to, being we've maintained county property for since 1920, you know, reimbursement of $100 a year, would that work?
Are you closing from the north down or coming?
We want to vacate the entire mile.
You want the whole mile?
It's in George Doran's pocket.
Who owns what in there? I don't know how this thing works. Whether the property was transferred, it's 200 feet east of the old right-of-way. The existing right-of-way went through on between section 33 and 34.
That's why that dog leg's in there?
That's why that dog leg is in there. So they, what I've gathered, they could not maintain a road there with the ravine on that side. So they moved the road over 200 feet to the east in 1920. And that's the way it's been ever since. But I've got no opposition from anybody. They all signed
petition.
I forget what you call it.
Petition.
And if you guys want to see this, you can have it. But, no, I did think.
Do you have an extra one of those?
No, I just have the one.
Could you have the clerk's office run a copy? That way
sure.
She has it for her records.
Okay, I can do that.
Gary, you are a landowner by it then?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Thanks, Dwayne.
We have an 80 along the road on the south part of that half mile.
You come up and identify yourself for the record, please.
So yeah, I'm Gary Karstens, Pickerel. My son and I own 80 acres of property there, and we were in favor of closing it. I just got the letter Friday, so I really haven't even been around much to see what it. But first we heard they were just going to close it past the bridge, but we want the whole thing because, like Dwayne says, it's just a party place down there with the trees. And that's what happened to the bridge in the first place. My son called the law that night, and they were having a party there. And then they went down there and dispersed it. And then about 3 or 4 in the morning, he heard ruckus again, and they put a S10 SUV on the bridge and lit it afire, and it burned holes in the bridge. And that's been probably 3-4 years ago, and it's really hard for us to get around there because we got to farm the whole mile there for Geneva Kramer to the north, and that's a poor road. One of the landowners on the west side gave me permission to clean the trees, which I did at my own expense, just so my son could get back there down that road because it was grown over in trees bad. And the tubes got holes in them. They're rusted out.
Okay. The question I have here, Gary, when I look here, it shows Robert Harms or Leona Tronic. Will they be landlocked on that closure? Am I on the right road?
That's not Robert Harms, no. He lives on Dogwood Road, which is to the west there. East, excuse me. He lives by Roger Dominick across the road, so no, that won't be a problem.
So no one's affected by the
There's
closure?
There's nobody affected by it. No. It's mostly us because we can't get down the road. And.
See, I'm just going off what my plat shows, and we know that they're not always accurate. So.
Yeah, no, that's... They live off the gravel on Dogwood Road.
Okay.
No, that's not. Mm-hmm.
So they're the north mile.
They're on the north mile.
That's okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And my question had been if I could, I had a question on this land, maybe getting, because see ours is just 76 acres, and that's probably another issue with the county attorney. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Well, once the board takes action, we'll take a look at that because we'll have to.
I wondered about that, and stuff. So, but also, I want to keep part of the road there for access, but I'll put a culvert in that bridge with concrete and stuff just so we can use it to get along there.
Yeah.
It, you know, and I will do all that at my expense and close the road on each end with a heavy gate and some concrete post and make it so they can't smash through it, because I know what will happen if they get in there. It'll end up driving on our property, turned around in the cornfield and everything else, you know, and it'll just make a mess down there.
So. Yep, that they will.
But that's all I had.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yep.
Rex.
Marlon.
The Hanover Township did support this, and I got a letter in the file saying okay. They support the closing, so wanted to bring that up.
Okay.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by...
Second.
Oh.
I second.
Okay. Seconded by Lytle. I'll give it to Lytle. Just so everyone knows, since it's recorded, we got to say it. So,
okay. Make
a motion. Bauman, Lytle. Any more discussion?
Rex, I got a question. What actually happens to that road? And maybe Roger can answer this. Does that each go half to each landowner, or what happens to that? Can they farm that, or what?
Yeah, once it's closed, then basically the abutting landowners each get half. They can work out whatever arrangement
they want. So if Gary wants to maintain that as a road where he can access back in there,
basically
he can.
Or a private road.
Okay. You own to the center of the road.
Right. But then, okay. But what my question is, are you allowed to farm it and so on?
You can do with it what you want.
Yeah.
It's your ground now. If you wish to maintain access to your field, you can.
Where you said, though, that it was the county purchased that 200 feet?
That, I don't know what you're going to do.
That's a different ballgame there.
That
40 foot of easement that
was
Dwayne
listed.
Says deeded to the county. Which, again, you know, that's not much different. I mean, like, if we're doing a subdivision or something, we're going to require that, you know, be deeded to the county so we can maintain the access. But
if you want to,
right.
You can sell it back. You can do with it.
Well,
give it, sell it, whatever.
The statute basically says if we abandon it and there's adjoining or abutting landowners, mm-hmm. we just parcel it back to them. So.
It's 40 feet of county road right-of-way, road petition number 451, granted January 12, 1920. This right-of-way deeded to Gage County in deed book 115, page 39. I can give you that.
See, normally we don't buy the roads. That's why they revert back to the landowner, mm-hmm. correct? Where we bought this, it'll have to be...
They bought this in 1920.
So, Mr. Chairman, is there a record that we did buy it?
It should be.
We got a copy of the deed and everything.
The deed that shows.
Yeah. Like I say, you know, $100 a mile to take care of that since 1920.
We actually buy land, or did we just buy
years?
No, we bought land.
$100 a mile a year?
We've done it before. We just, Gary will buy it.
Go to the leasee?
It's 40 feet of right-of-way. It's only 40 feet of right-of-way. It's not the full 66 feet.
It might have been just part of the agreement.
Well, see, it says granted. That was my thought. If we didn't pay anything for it.
I don't know what they did. I have.
My office will check.
Yeah,
I'm not going to look. I went this far, and I said, "This is what I got. We want to vacate the road. What goes on? Who goons what?
Did you go look at your blinds?
I don't care. What?
Did you go look at your blinds?
No.
Okay. Any more discussion? to close the public hearing. Thank you. Okay, we have X amount of time before we act on it. I don't know how many.
Next board meeting. We'll
do a resolution then. Okay, Kim, you want to have the next public hearing in?
Do they have to be in the room before we open it?
Pardon me?
Do they have to be in the room before we open it?
No, I need a motion to open or close. Open the public hearing on Section 9 and 16. Liberty Township.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Dorn to open the public hearing. Do we have a sign-up sheet for the public hearing for... Okay.
I don't
think we voted, did we?
Pardon me?
I think we voted to open.
Okay. Need to vote. Vote. 7-0 to open the public hearing. And we have a sign-up sheet on to speak. Mary Ellen Boyer, you're first up.
No, this one.
Speak, yes.
Bill.
Oh, that's Bill. Okay, wrong one. I'm looking at the wrong line. William Boyer, you're up. Name and address for the record, Bill.
William John Boyer, 15659 East State Highway 8, Liberty, Nebraska. And I'm against it, definitely, because it's going to landlock me. The half mile, there's no way in or out of that place, because eventually that road, and then there's two bridges on the coming in from the west, and that's going to wash out. One of them's going to wash out within a few years. So if that half mile line coming in from the north, the road is closed, I do not have an access at all on that place. And I own 240 some acres total in that area. And I got on the petition, there's a petition that to sign on to vote, you know, for the closing of the road. I got two to sign off at the clerk's office. And there's six of them here that said they didn't realize what was going on. Can I go ahead and give it to you guys?
Yeah, give it to the clerk, I guess.
I gave it to the clerk's office this morning, but they said they wouldn't look at it.
Yeah, since the public hearing has been formed. Matt has a question for you, Bill.
Well, more of a comment is, Marlon, I think 2 weeks ago we discussed this, and wasn't there a recommendation was to not?
Right. My recommendation, because of the land issue, if you vacate that road and landlock that quarter in the north.
This is a formality we have to follow since the wheels are in motion.
Oh, I understand that. I just wanted to make, okay. I didn't know if you were aware that that was.
I was aware of it, but yeah. All it takes is one vote and.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's okay. Why we play the game, man.
So I'm definitely against it because it's going to landlock me.
Yeah. The concern I do have, Marlon, with our process, Bill is the one that was directly affected to be landlocked. He did not receive notification of the public hearing. He's called for sections 9 and 16. I just think it's a process we need to work on. Any affected landowners where we know there's one affected needs notification. He does not have land in 9 or 16, but look in 15 there, and, you know, the landlocked parcel is there. So that's something internally, road and bridge, and that we all need to work on improving on. So, yeah.
See, I didn't ever get a certified letter, and that's been one of my questions. I know it doesn't relate to voting yes or no, but, you know, why didn't I get a certified letter?
Marlon's.
Is that something that the county or somebody needs to address and look at and try to review and try to improve it?
We're going to try to improve it. Bill, I asked for maps from the assessor's office and what they were looking at. They were looking at 9 and 16, sections 9 and 16. So somewhere there was a communication drop.
Well, mine's in section 15.
15. So what they did, they pulled it off 9 and 16. So where you were directly affected in 15, they did not pull your name off of it from there.
Well, all I have to do is look at a plat map.
Yeah,
plat
well, book. They went off of their program, GIS mapping. So,
you know, and that's what so I do pay a lot of taxes in Gage County.
And this little bit, too.
So I hope you guys vote no.
Thank you. Next to speak is Mark Rock.
Good morning.
Hello.
I don't really have a lot to say.
Address for the record.
Mark Hurock, 46530 South 120th Road, Wymore. Is that all you need?
Yep.
Don't have a lot to say. I just wanted to clarify one thing about being neutral as a township board. We discussed it and said that come up with it. If all the landowners along both roads agree to go to close it, would be fine with us. But everybody had to agree to close it. That's kind of our thoughts. And one other thought was that I understood, unless I was misinformed, a year or two, maybe 3 years ago, maybe even longer than that now, there was FEMA money to fix part of that road that never happened. And I just wanted to bring that to the attention, you know, if it got moved or if it could get moved and why it got moved. And I guess that's about all I have to say about it at this time.
Mark, that'll be a discussion we have at a later time.
Sure. So I just wanted to go on the record
noted
with that.
I have talked to Marlon. I have talked to Roger about it, so we will.
That's fine.
We will look into that.
That's great.
So,
but
anyway.
you're one of the three township officials
yes.
then. So good.
Clerk, Liberty Township.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, next to speak, Jay Boyer.
Sorry, Jay. Hello, my name is Jay Boyer, 15464 East State Highway 8, Liberty, Nebraska. And I started the petition, and there is some mistakes in the petition to begin with. And as I talked to some board members, maybe the petition is actually disqualified instantly or already because it was just supposed to go an eighth of a mile from the corner there east of the property line. So it's very...
Which property line are you on?
Between Dick Dunn and I, that'd be an eighth of a mile from the corner west.
So you're in section 16 and 9?
I'm in 9 and 10. I'm in 9 and 10.
Where you're talking, though, is section 16 and 9, the very east end of the double bridges.
Well, yes, it'd be just to the east of the double bridges. Okay. Right.
So you guys know where he's talking about. These maps that the assessor gave go 15, 16, and 9 and 10 and go to the corner there. So you were talking an eighth of a mile...
Right,
here then.
An eighth of a mile from the corner.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But anyway, it appears to me you got three options, and one is to leave the road the way it is. I think you're going to have some trouble with that. I've sent pictures along with the petition. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but in the petition, I don't know if Don, you've got those pictures yet. I gave those to you. You can see where the road is being eaten out there on Sycamore Road. It's approximately, I got a tape measure there, it's between 13 to 15 feet deep where it hits the water. And then the water is probably another 10 foot deep. The county appropriated land there once again and moved the road north. And they've done this a time or two before. So basically, it's until something is done. You're going to continually wasting taxpayer money. And as Mark said, FEMA money was appropriated for this problem, and somehow this money got diverted someplace else. And I don't know how the rules of FEMA work, whether if the money's appropriated, it's supposed to be spent there. I don't know. But the money was spent someplace else. Some of the other pictures I see taken of the road were people have went off the road because the road was in such poor shape. People circumvented the road and drove through my crops because my field was in actually better shape than the road.
Jay, I want to point out that I think this is the first I've seen, and I don't believe anyone else has seen the petition. So, Marlon, that's something we need to... When they come in, I think the whole board needs to see it. So.
You want me to make copies for everybody?
Yeah.
You
can do it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. And so I want to make sure in the public hearing that the county board realizes that because of this road and the condition it is, the county and the township is thus going to take on the liability of somebody having an accident on this road. That's fine with me. I just want to make sure that it's known publicly that I'm not liable for it. And then also, if you're going to leave the road the way it is, I'd like to know, for the damage of my crops, of people driving around the road, who's going to reimburse me for the damage that the failure to perform or however you want to classify it, that I'm reimbursed. Second way a guy could do it is improve the road. Why don't we improve that road? We had FEMA money to fix the road, and that was gone. I think, there's been other township roads that were mud within a couple miles that was graded, rocked, graveled. That's an option we could have. We could grade. It would take a mile of grading and putting rock in spots where it's bad and gravel, We could go that direction. That would help with the liability. You could put in railings where the creek is eating into the road. A guy could put railings there if he wanted to. It would cost some money, but if and Bill brought a petition of people that wanted to keep the road open, it appears to me that apparently the taxpayers in that area are sending a directive to you and the township board that this road needs to be fixed. That's up to you guys. If you want to spend the money to do it, that's fine. I'm all for that, to keep the road open. But, you know, we have a petition of people that apparently want to keep the road open. I've heard that we can't afford it. Well, you know, we have however many people's on that petition to approve the road and fix it. Then that's the way that people in that area want their money spent. I suggest we go ahead and fix that road. It will take a mile because it's a mud road for a mile there. But then let's go ahead and fix it.
Jay, when Marlon on that the road right east of the bridges, when he shifted that over, he says that's in a right-of-way. So you're saying that they're driving past that out through the fields?
Not that particular place. I'm talking about the on 148th Road.
The mile north.
Yeah, well, they're doing it on there, too. But the mile going north and south is the one that they're going around the mud holes and stuff and into the field. That's 148th Road, the half a mile road there. And yeah, the road I don't know if you call it took, but you know, for to move the road north was done, I think, a few years back because they knew that this continually is happening, having to move the road north. And and just depends how much it rains, you'll have to move it again north unless something's done. But once again, I the second option to fix the road, I have no problem with that. We can do that. I'm game for that. There's advantages to everybody for that. And then I guess the third option is, as this petition says, is to close the road. There's benefits to that. It would save taxpayers a lot of money. It would save the liability to the county, the county board. It saved liability to that. You can save. There'd be benefits to that. We had a landowner that claims that it would landlock him, and that might be possible. I met with a county official down there, and if what the county official, and according to this map that was drawn out, if you go by that, this landowner is already landlocked. He is already driving across my ground, and I have given him permission to do that with no problem at all, to go down and check floodgates, whatever he needs to do, on the 2 acres that he's got on the south side of that. The reason he has to do that is because before we bought the place, him and the other previous landowner vacated the road to get to that place. It wasn't my idea to do it, but they vacated that road years ago before I bought the property. And so, you know, it's a 2-3 acre parcel there that you can't get to. But, you know, when I set the petition, the township board told me that all the landowners have to agree. And I was told by all of the landowners at the time that it was all right, you know, as long as they could get to it. And as I said, I've let you go through there the whole time I've owned the property. I'm not going to stop now. But I will probably want an easement now. And I would like, if anything else, if Marlin or some county official will come down there and tell me, it's already been surveyed, to tell me where the corner is of that section. Between the 4 sections, because that is being eaten away by the creek, and from what I understand from the stakes that are still there, the property is not accessible without driving across mine anyway. I'll give an easement. I'll be more than happy to do that, and I've told him that.
Marlon, we're talking on where we moved the road north of the creek there. You had that surveyed so you know where you are.
We surveyed it. We moved the road. That's the FEMA money that was turned in on a storm that Liberty never had enough damage, but we had that road wash closer, so we turned in a location there. They paid us so much money. And they said you can either do one of two things. You can do like you did up at DeWitt, or you can move the road. Well, we had it surveyed. The edge of the right-of-way is the edge of the new where the creek is. So we moved the road north. We kept all the tickets because every time you get do FEMA stuff, get money, you get audited. So everything's good there. So surveying, moving the road took up what they offered to pay us for. So.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the closed road there, I mean, if it's fine with me, either all three options are fine. I would just like a county official, I had a county official tell me of where that right-of-way was at. And if that's the case, there's a tube down there. I asked him, can I take that tube out because that's on my property? He said, yeah, he says, that's yours because that road has been closed, has been vacated, you can have that.
Now the hard question, what county official?
I prefer not to say that. I think I don't want to get in any more trouble.
You're gonna have to say one, or it's just
okay.
It's just
I met with Marlin down there, and I said, Marlin, I says, where is the right of way here? And Marlin, he says, well, it's from the stake. And then if you actually go by this map here, it's 100. And I'm not a map reader, but from if you go by this little triangle there on the south side of 148. On there, it shows the west. It says it's 111 feet south of that point. Not the one there in the middle, and then it goes down to that one clear to the south. That's 100. It appears to me 111 feet. Well, if you measure that off, that's long. There's still a gap. That's the Ken Chihuahuas and I's property. You know, after that, before you get into the 3 acres. And once again, I've allowed an easement there. But once again, all three options are fine with me. I don't care. It's up to the board to decide what they think is best.
Okay.
I'm not in favor of closing. It don't make any difference to me whether you close it, whether you fix it, or you leave it as it is, but that's the three things that's going to happen. The three things are the possibilities. And the things that will happen if each decision.
Okay.
It makes no difference to me.
Okay, thank you, Jay.
You bet.
Jeff Davis.
Jeff Davis, 114 North 6th Beatrice. I'm here in my capacity as attorney for Bill Boyer. So I'll really just echo what Bill had to say, and I'll be brief in making a couple of other comments. First, as a jurisdictional matter, the petition originally had 14 signatures, got knocked down to 10. Bill collected a few other signatures of people who said they wanted to withdraw, which the clerk's office didn't accept this morning. Now is probably not the appropriate time to make a legal argument as to whether that's the right or the wrong decision, but I think there is at least a colorable legal argument to be made that the board doesn't have jurisdiction even to hear this as a matter of Nebraska Revised Statute, Section 39-1723, and I'll let Roger advise the board as to what he thinks is the best thing about that. I'd ask the board to give deference to Marlin's report, which mentions in paragraph number 6 of his findings, talks about Bill's land being landlocked in Section 15, and without that would not be fair to Bill to landlock him off. And finally, the petition, whether there's an error in the petition or not, I'm not sure. Sounds like the petition might be trying to be changed here at the 11th hour, and without a proper public notice, I don't know that that's appropriate. Or discussion of issues that really have nothing to do with whether the road should stay open or be closed. Talk of surveys and corners and rights of way. The issue really is whether... whether it's in the public interest to close that road. And I think Bill's comments about how he would be landlocked if it were closed and the highway superintendent's agreement with that are what the board should give deference to. So I'd ask the board to vote no.
Thank you. Anyone else that would like to speak in favor or against? Need a motion to close the public hearing then.
Before you do that, Jay, are there anybody out there that requested to have their name removed from the petition that hasn't signed something or indicated it otherwise? I just want to make sure they're on record if they're... Okay, that's fine.
Okay. okay with it?
Move to close the public hearing.
Motion by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers to close the public hearing. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to close, and action will be in 2 weeks per. That's the way it's done, correct, Roger?
Well, you can. It's up to the board, but yeah.
I mean, I just suggested,
you know, if there's a lot of new stuff that came out this morning, that would be something the board could do. You're not required to immediately vote on it. And that's just because I've been approached by several people, and I talked to Rex. I said, you may want to consider, since you're getting more stuff than you had previously sent to you.
She's under the opinion we can't do it the same day as the hearing.
Well, usually you're going to take time and consider it. And then again, some of these things, like what Mr. Davis brought up, I appreciate his comments because those are fairly novel issues. And I just suggested, as far as people pulling their names off petition, once the name's on the petition and the wheels start in motion, my suggestion was go ahead and proceed unless we can get something else worked out on that in that line. And now the description, I think you're stuck with the description you got on your petition.
Okay.
Because that's what Marlin has been operating on. And if later they want to change that, I guess see what the board's decision is.
Okay. So no action today on that. And without police here to tell me the point of privilege, I sometimes forget it. So let's take a 5-minute recess. Okay, reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lionel, Byers, and Setzer. Deb Wendelin, Public Health Solutions.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Deb Wendelin, and this is Kim Plojek. We're with Public Health Solutions District Health Department in Crete. Our address is 995 East Highway 33. Thank you all for having us here this morning to start with. What I'm here today to bring to the committee is some information to make you aware of some of the issues that have been brought to our attention. We are currently working on a grant that was provided to us through Housing and Urban Development on lead hazard control. Even though lead-based paint was banned in 1978, HUD estimates that there's still approximately 24 million homes in the United States that still have significant problems. We have, as part of our grant, had the objective and the opportunity to set up a stakeholder group, which was actually from members, constituents of each of our counties that we represent, that got together to help us go over issues of lead-based paint in each of our counties. We took those members. We have been working on policies and procedures for future lead grants that we are going to pursue. Some of the things that we were able to offer as part of that grant was training for our local area contractors. We set them up with training in renovate, repair, and painting. We also did some supervisor and worker training, all set out to bring them up to speed and to get their certification and license in actual lead-based paint control work. We're also going to be having meetings here in Beatrice, one at the end of this month and another one in April, that will deal with healthy home issues, problems that we have, anything from pests to rodents to radon to slips, trips, and falls. Both of those meetings are also going to be used to help sustain future grants and provide more information. We had a couple of grants, a CARE grant and also a MAP grant, that these were based on environmental and health assessments and were community-driven in our counties. Some of the concerns that our Gage County residents presented in these reports were dilapidated properties, children's health, and also the economic health of the county. As a public district health department, public health department, we are trying to address those issues. We are trying to go out and get grants to provide the funding that we can help these citizens address the issues that affect them in their counties. Being said, we had some map work done through the help from the county assessors, and what we found was amazing, but there are approximately 8,000 properties in Gage County that were built prior to 1978. Now, a good percentage of those we can estimate are probably going to be rental units, and those rental units usually are in much greater need of repair than a lot of the residential homes. Any project that you submit yourself, commit yourself to, needs collaboration. That's the key element to almost any project. As we sit down and we utilize these policies and procedures that we've written to sustain future grants, we are here, as I said, as an informational presentation, but also to ask for your support as leaders in your community as we continue to organize and pursue these future grants, that we know that we can come to you and look to you for your support. I guess LED to me stands for locate, educate, advocate, and dedicate. So by pursuing these grants, we're not only taking these grants and putting money into the community, but we're also helping to rehab your older housing stock. And by getting your contractors trained and updated in lead hazard control, that's also going to provide them with job opportunities. We've visited with financial institutions. We have visited with hospitals, schools, all trying to work together and referring cases that they see into our future program. So as we continue on our quest, we look to you for your support and your referrals to help protect the communities that you serve. And if you have any questions, and
Danny.
I just want to make a comment. I want to commend these wonderful women from the public health staff. I'm on that board, and I've been part of the group that has come together and looked at properties through Gage County, and it just absolutely, well, it shouldn't have shocked me, but the exposure. And something they haven't mentioned is their involvement with some children who have been affected by lead-based poisoning in this county. And we have a tendency, unless it affects us personally, to know how serious this is. But it's there, and I just want to know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure you'll find this board will be tremendously supportive. An interesting thing, of all the mapping, all of the five counties that we did, the only county that had to charge them for that was Gage County. Every other county did it with no charge. Thought it was interesting.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'll visit with the assessor about that.
But. Thank you, Mr. Adams. Any questions? Or?
And this is Kim Ploshek, who is from Public Health Solutions, also has worked with them on this.
And Kim has dealt directly with the families, and she's gone out in the field, so.
Well, I'll just add to the training that we brought. The RRNP is an EPA regulation. Any contractor that goes into a pre-1978 home to do any kind of work where they'll disturb a surface greater than 2 square feet has to have the 8-hour training course to be able to do that. If they don't have that, then they're operating outside of that regulation and can get fined by the EPA. So you're greater educated for that now, and then the training that we tried to bring to them assisted them to do their job within the regulations, and we need to get more of them updated and certified on that. So all of our efforts in seeking grants is a direct relationship to the assessments that we did and what the constituents identified as needs in their counties, and we'll continue to do that. That's our mission as public health.
And if I may, this is just an updated brochure that we have done that kind of explains to you who Public Health Solutions is and what we do. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them while we're here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Approve or disapprove specs for lawn care fertilization program for county facilities to include courthouse, sheriff, grounds, triplex, and parkways to call for proposals.
Mr. Davey.
It's the same agreement that we used. He just revised a little bit on the second treatment. He took off some fertilization, different things because of the lawn being new, that type of thing. So
this is just letting bids, and we'll get...
Yeah, we'll take bids, then in 2 weeks we'll open bids for...
I'd make a motion to approve specifications of lawn care fertilization program for county facilities.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove update to Gage County Employee Handbook.
This is, first of all, I'll make a motion to approve the update to the Gage County Employee Handbook.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Basically, there's the form here that I was primarily focusing on was the grievance procedure. We'd updated that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I believe everyone's had a chance to see that. We shared that with the Road and Bridge Department, Highway Department employees on, is that Thursday or Wednesday last week?
Wednesday.
Wednesday last week to get some feedback. I have not received any since then, so it's been hanging out there for 2 weeks. So basically there was a little redundancy, but I'll say again, we wanted there to be a mechanism in place where the employees had the opportunity to be heard if they felt that something wasn't going right with a disciplinary action. A lot of the language is very similar, if not identical, to what was there before. So we just tried to clarify that. There were some changes, and everyone's seen those, so... that's what I had, and I think there were some verbiage changes, I believe, that Kathy had brought forward, some typo.
Those things will be redone when we're going to redo the whole entire handbook, so those will be all caught then.
So this change was primarily related to that grievance procedure and the discipline and discharge, kind of goes through some of those. So.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Discussion on re-entering into employment contracts for certain county employees.
I ask that this be put on the agenda as a discussion, just to kind of talk through and kind of see what everyone's thoughts are. I think it was in 07, a lot of the contracted employees that the county used to have under advisement of a previous county attorney were to go away from those. What then happened was there was no definition of how those employees were going to have a working relationship with the county. Basically, I've been told that they were told that everything will stay the same. Well, it can't stay the same if you no longer have a contract that defines what your employment status was. So as we tried to move forward, I even know that we as a board decided to not go into a contract almost 2 years now. Is it a year? Maybe it's a year now. And that because of the independence of a lot of these employees, because of the nature of the work, because the facts are we're part-time supervisors with regard to employees, we need to... I think it makes sense to look at going back underneath some of those contracts, because some of the reasons for going away from this as you start to delve into those just don't seem to make sense or just don't work anymore. So I bring that out that we look at some of the employees that answer and work forward directly to the board, our appointed employees, we go back under contracts and run those through the county attorney's office. And, not going to happen overnight. I would suggest we look at that with the fiscal year starting July 1 to June 30th of each year, which is how the old contracts read. What are your thoughts on that?
We switched it because of the legal advice is why we ended up changing it. So,
what I suspect the wisdom at the time was contracts create rights.
Yeah.
And there was a time that people were going away from contracts because basically trying to define job responsibilities and communication and all that stuff, you ended up granting somebody more rights that could be used against you, whether it be in court or whatever the case may be. You know, again, I think you can write the contract and cover those issues. Now, of course, I say that, and the press will put that down. Again, I mean, you could develop a, you know, if there's a dispute, well, how are we going to handle that? Who are we going to talk to? How are we going to resolve it? You know, those type of things. Does it create more rights? The case law up till now has said, yeah, it does. And I'm sure that's why your previous administration said that. Do you want to go through that, or do you want to basically say, oh, we don't have a contract, so we're at will?
And as I visited with Don, and I think we've also had some consultation with NERMA, is that it's difficult to classify an employee if they're just not a straight hourly employee. Exempt, not exempt, what benefits are they entitled to? Well, my understanding is that you wrap that into a contract. Here's what you're entitled to. It's right here. It's in writing. This is the contractual basis. I think it cleans up a lot of that. And as boards change from time to time, ideas change, and I know I've talked to Don that with regard to HR, we need to write down a lot of these things. Why did we do this? Because as people come and go, we lose that historical knowledge. Why did you do that? Why? You know, what was the sense at the time? You know, what was the environment? And a lot of that's just gone. So we need to do a better job of writing those things down, and it's just part of the process. I don't see it being punitive or taking anything away going to a contract. I think it just cleans it up, and you know, on a couple pieces of paper, this is your job responsibility. These are the things that we're going to pay you. These are your benefits, and this is what the working relationship is going to be like. And I think because we've got those employees out there that are non-hourly employees, and you know, Don, I know we've tried to. You run a test and you say, are they exempt? Are they non-exempt? And you just, you know, sometimes it depends on which way the wind's blowing and who interprets those. And so I think, you know, let's just make it under a contract because we're paying these people with taxpayer money. We need to be very clear. And it's a benefit to the employee. They need to know, and I believe they have a right to know, how am I working and how am I getting paid and what are my benefits? That's a discussion I wanted to have. I have copies of the contracts. I'm basically retyping and redrafting them. I'll share those with, kick those to Gary and hand those off to him. So,
how many people are we looking at? Mark, Marlon?
Maybe four, maybe five. The ones that answer directly. There's some of those that answer to another body or department head. But from an HR standpoint, the county is still liable, so we have to make sure we're acutely aware of how they're classified, how their wages are being calculated, and as I've found out, there's different ways it's being done that may not necessarily be fair to the county, and quite often isn't necessarily fair to the employees. So there's a mutual benefit to clean that stuff up. So.
Okay. Any more discussion on it?
Discussion on County Board and Economic Development.
I again requested that this be on there. Basically, I think it's time that we dust off this economic development thing again. I think we're in an environment where to continue to do nothing is akin to sticking your head in the sand and pulling the lint out of your pockets and just giving up. And I guess I'm not willing to do that yet. I got four kids at home that I want to make an environment that they'll want to come back and live here. It's a little embarrassing when I have people from different areas of the county ask me absolutely sincerely, what are we doing with economic development? And I look at them and shrug my shoulders and say, nothing. And the people are looking to somebody. The community is looking for somebody to take the reins on this. And I believe that it's time that the county get back into this. You know, the next item down here is to formulate a study group to look at this. You know, I've been in conversation with groups of people for 6 to 8 months about, you know, how's the county going to get back into this. I've shared concerns from previous boards as to why the board got out of an agreement with the previous provider of economic development, and I believe that some of those were very valid. And I have drafted. I don't know if I call it a contract, maybe points that I believe are that deal with some of those concerns that I believe should be considered in a contract. Dealing with accountability, finances, non-rolling contract, put a start and an end date in there, really improve those communications, but also making the boards
accountable as much as the organization if they choose to get into contract with, share that responsibility of communicating. It is a two-way street. I think we have to put a very positive face on. I've been told and heard from sources outside of Gage County that this is a negative political environment. If the word in the state is out that we're a negative political environment, how attractive do we look to anybody to come here? So when you hear those things, and I've tried to rebut those claims and ask those parties, when you speak about Gage County, the past is the past. We need to move to the future. And those negative comments deserve no place at the table. So there's still people that want to live out there in that negative world. There's going to be naysayers. As we move forward, there's going to be people that are going to try and submarine this process. That's no doubt. Now, I don't think we should not listen to some of the concerns, because I think that there's very valid points that come up, and we may be able to morph this process. But I believe the county has to take the lead. I believe at some point we approach our friends at the city and see if they would like to be a part of this. If they choose not to, so be it. You know, slinging mud, those days have to be over. We have to move forward. We've got to sit at the table and work this stuff out. But we cannot continue the way we are. I got a flyer just the other day from NEAPCO. They're going to have a presentation. You know, we hear about the economy turning around. You've got businesses here in town who are doing okay, who've made it. And I believe that there's a willingness and a desire for, at least my idea with a new program, is to have this new group work with and help existing businesses succeed as well. Not always gunslinging for the big ones to come in. Those are nice, but don't forget about the people who are here and who have contributed. I believe previous players of economic development are a valuable resource to mentor through the process. I believe there's several that probably don't want a seat back at the table. But I believe that there has been success, and to turn our backs on that previous success would be irresponsible. But that has to look different. I think the public wants it to function different and with different levels of accountability. You know, look at it. Some of the best farm economy that I'm ever aware of in my lifetime, and I've got it's an old article, but it was an article that I found some time ago, you know, probably 3 or 4 months ago, and it's from 2004. And it talks about non-farm income and small farms. 82% of U.S. farm operations having an annual sales of less than $100,000. Off-farm income typically accounts for all but a negligible amount. Now, granted, that's not the case now, but we can't plan for the now. We got to plan for the future. And what happens? You hear people in agriculture talk about a five-year cycle, things kind of an ebb and flow. And I've talked to two gentlemen right here. Where do you get your health insurance? You get it from somebody else, because there's a successful business someplace else that's providing a job and insurance there that helps to supplement that farm income. The other thing that's near and dear to my heart is health care. Good-paying jobs with good benefits provide better reimbursement for physicians, for clinics, and for hospitals. That's a fact. And good physicians, good clinics, and good hospitals provide for a good, healthy community, which, again, is a level of a community succeeding. So this is a big project. It's a lot more than just bringing people to the table looking for businesses. It's a global look at how is your community functioning. Looking at our smaller communities out there, the smaller cities and villages, and saying, how can we get you involved? You know what? You're probably not going to get a factory that's going to employ 50 people. But if you can be a bedroom community for people to live there, provide some income, and add to the culture of your small city or village, there's a value there too. You know, there's things on the horizon. I think things are looking up for Gage County. I think that we need to be an active part of that, and we need to offer people a seat at the table. So I want to be an agent of change, an agent of a positive change, and moving forward. And I hope that environment's there, because we've seen what doing nothing gets us. We've seen what doing nothing gets us. I appreciate that economic development takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I understand that. But I believe that in a draft, points that need to be in a contract, I put in there, we need to have some type of metrics, some type of benchmarks that we have to, you know, we're just not going to hand this money out with no accountability. If whatever years we decide to put in a contract, we're going to evaluate on an annual basis. Have you met this? Have you met this? Have you met this? So that we can have a level of accountability. That's one thing I think this board's done very good at,
is we've held ourselves accountable, we've held employees accountable, we've held contracts accountable, and I don't think this is any different. We need to be accountable across the board. So I'm excited. I think it's important that we get a study group together. I think we're going to have to look at funding sources on how we're going to be serious about this. You know, we can say all we want, but if we don't put some real money into it, it's a sham and it's a joke. And I think we have to, you know, we have to come to a consensus on what that is. We have to be very accountable for those dollars, and we got to find people that want to do the work. I don't think anybody at this round or half circle here has the time to do it. We need to be an active participant, and we need to put the ball in motion, and we need to be supportive of those people who are there. So, I mean, I'm excited about this. I visited with, over the last, 6 or 8 months, different board members at different times trying to get their input. What do you think about this? My understanding is there's a positive response. Is it going to be everything everybody wants? No. Is it going to be everything I want? Probably not. But it's not about any one individual. It's about trying to come to a consensus, and kind of like herding cats. You're going to kind of generally go in one direction. We may not go single file, but we need to be positive about it. And if we've got something we need to hash out, we do that in a format that's positive to our community. Again, you're going to have the naysayers out there. I think we've seen them in the past. They're going to rise to the top, and they're going to be there, and they're going to be loud. But they're the people that come up to me and ask me what we're doing. And when I go home at night and I see those kids, what am I doing to improve this community for future generations with regard to economic development? I think this it's very important that we get back into this again. So I've, you know, given my Gettysburg address there for 2 or 3 minutes, but I guess I want to infuse that positive nature and this passion that I have to get back into this.
I'm going to agree with you, man. I like what you've done on it. At some point, we've got to either talk, end the talk, and go forward. And we're to that day. And we've run some different scenarios. So it's up to the county board, I guess, to start the study group on it. And are we to the next point of the agenda?
If anyone, I think I'd like to get some input.
Kathy, do you have
I totally agree with you, Matt. I mean, we definitely have to do something for economic development because we can't just sit here and watch our community die. And I think that it has to be done in a very positive attitude. We have to involve the city because they can access LB 840 funds. We cannot. And nobody has money to just throw at projects right now. But between the city and the county, I think we can work together. And I think that we need to be a totally new face for economic development, new attitude. We need to go in and hire a professional that can come in with a proven track record and show us results. I know it's not, you know, you hire somebody and next month we have this wonderful new opportunity, but I think that there's a lot of possibilities. I think the main thing is accountability. We're putting tax money at it. Everybody needs to know where it's going. And so, but yeah, I'm real excited about it too.
I do have a draft. I call it a draft agreement, but it's bullet points that I'll share with everyone just to get some input. I think it generally gets us in the right kind of going down that path, but you know, I'd like some input from folks and, you know, like this, don't like this, what about this? I think that would be important. So I'll try to get that out, try to clean up. A lot of them's got chicken scratch on them and different things, but... There is definitely a benefit to having a viable economic development program. And you see these other communities that are out there selling themselves. And I'm not talking about pimping ourselves out to the person who's going to, a business that's going to be a fly by night and come here and then take off and get all the tax benefits. I'm talking about getting those businesses that want to come here and contribute to the community and offer long term solutions for our economic viability. And there's one hand washes the other. And if you get out there and you read information, and I spend a lot of time reading about, you know, the ag effects and the benefits, and the, especially in our community, of a strong economic community independent of ag, and how that spills over to ag, and one hand washes the other. A strong ag economy benefits a rural community like ours, and a strong non-ag benefits that rural community, benefits the ag end. So it's one hand washing the other. And things are great now, but we've all seen, for instances, like the housing bubble. At some point, there's an end, and we've got a plan for that so that we're solid and we're beneficial down the future, down the road in the future. So I guess that would be my next thing, is I would make a motion to approve the formation of a County Board Economic Development Study Group / Committee, consisting of board members to start with, and then maybe morphing that once we come to a compromising position of where we need to move forward, and then try to bring in another group of people and start to move forward. But
got a motion by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. And to me, the committee, Matt, is you would be chairman. Gary with his city connection, I, and then Danny with his history of the past.
I would respectfully decline to serve.
Okay.
Rex, I'd like to throw out there that maybe a second consideration, and I don't get me wrong, I would truly, I mean, economic development is big on my plate, and I think it's extremely important. I echo a lot of what Matt had to say. And I think it is extremely important that we get on board now, because we need to be prepared for the future. But on that other hand, too, I do know a lot of stuff, and I got input. But I just wonder if maybe some of the other people maybe ought to be on the group, just so that maybe they get a little more informed on the economic development side of it. But whatever you say, if you request me on there, I'll be on there, no problem.
Chairman, are there folks that really feel, board members here that are excited and want to be a part of it? It can be an ebb and flow. People can come and go, too. I'd like to have all seven of us sitting around a table.
Yeah.
But, Open Meetings Act prevents that. So,
people, I would like to be.
Okay. Which one of you two?
I would, unless you want. I would.
Okay. Well, I think that's easy, then.
Because I would see, there's going to be, I'm a novice at this, and I'm using resources, and I'm using people who have been there before.
If you want on, I can step off, too.
You're fine.
No. Okay. So, Matt is chairman. I, Kathy, and Myron, then, correct? Just so we all understand.
And I just would like to make a comment. I certainly will be very supportive of the process, much as I can, but I've been called about every name in the book and told how horrible I am relative to economic development, even though I've been there for economic development for over 40 years. And I just can't take, quite honestly, being called names and told how absolutely horrible I am. And I'm afraid that it would be best if I'm sitting on the outside giving you as much positive as I can. But just understand, I'm not saying no. I'm saying no for a reason. Okay?
Okay.
When it may prompt another response, not your deal, but prompt a response from the council, too, to maybe put together a group and do some corroboration. But it's a good idea for somebody to start this thing. It's laid dormant way too long in my book.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I don't care to be involved. I mean, I want to be involved.
I know where you're coming from. We'd rather have you tell us than, So mm-hmm. I think you did the right thing, Gary.
Mr. Chairman, and I think at times, I think it would be very appropriate for the committee to maybe a member, I'm going to step away and bring somebody else in, in order to, the biggest thing is to make sure that we're doing things appropriately, but we need to involve everyone. And again, there'll be the naysayers out there. I think in the past there may have been some credence to some of the arguments that were made. Maybe. And I think we listen to those and we move forward. But to sit here and put our head in the sand and do nothing and kick the dirt, those days are over. Those days are over.
And where you're going to see the economic development, or where you see the lack of it, is 5 and 10 years from now. It's not tomorrow.
We're in the tomorrow.
We're in the tomorrow. Yeah. If you're not doing something, if you're not going forward and trying to better the community, better the county, 5, 10 years from now, you'll look back and then people will say, well, you guys didn't do anything, and it'll show up. It'll show up big time that you weren't doing something all the other counties were doing, and then why did that business or why did that avenue go to some other county? And it'll show up big time later on.
I just want to touch on Kathy talking about the 840 funds. We've set in the discussions with the city, and Matt probably knows where I'm heading with this. We're not on a level playing field where they can collect $400,000 of LB 840 funds that every individual that shops in Beatrice spends. And my belief on this is that Gage County put up $100,000 in taxpayers' money. Beatrice put up $100,000 of taxpayers' money. We're on an equal playing field, and you use LB 840 funds for infrastructure. You use it for the reaching out. You use it for the directions you need to go. But if it's on a level playing field, that creates a level playing field where we're both responsible to taxpayers then. Because there is no way we can throw in the LB 840 funds and call it a level playing field. It's just not a reality. But we need to work together. And Matt used the word community. It's not the city of Beatrice. It's not Gage County. We are a community of Gage County where Wymore, the people in my district, rely on the jobs up here in Beatrice. They get a better paying job. They have jobs that pay health care. It's the difference between the rescue departments not having enough people, the restaurant not staying open, or my school district staying solvent. So we need to look at it, and we've sat on it too long. So I applaud you for what you've done, Matt. You've done a good job. Gary.
One thing I would like to add also is that in absence of economic development as a group in the last 2 months, maybe a little longer than that, 3 months, I think. Lori Warner and the Chamber has tried to pick up the ball and do as much as they can to keep patchwork going. And I think it should be commended that they have done as good as they could be expected to, especially when they haven't been thrown any extra money at them or asked flat out come out by the city or county or anybody and said, hey, would you do this for us? They should be commended for that. And we do need to move forward quickly.
Okay. Anything else on the economic development end? Committee reports.
Building grounds. I think you heard from our architect and our contractor this morning where they're at, and of course we'll push with the punch list. We had our surveyor who has surveyed the property looking at where we and talk to the committee on where we need to come back with sidewalks, where we don't need sidewalks, where they're superfluous. We have a certain amount of money credit that we have from the contractors and damage that they did to the yard with their trucks and what have you. We have about $14,000 to work with there to redo some of the things in the yard. Sidewalks both on Lincoln and on 6th Street need to be pulled in into the yard and closer away from the curb for safety reasons. And so we have the surveyor and Dave Jones working with the architects on getting some estimates on what needs to be done and what kind of costs we're talking about, and that will come back to the committee. Myron, as the subcommittee of your night meeting group, we gave him the responsibility of going out to look at what we're doing as far as what we can do as far as broadcasting over the internet on cable TV or to bring our meetings closer to the people of Gage County. And so I think what came out of that meeting, Myron's been doing some excellent work, is still working on that. We'll bring another report back to Building Grounds Committee in a couple of weeks on some costs. But I want to commend him. He took the bull by the horns. Yeah, that's what I want. Don't you take the ball and do something with it, too? Okay. But anyway, so that's where we're at this point, and moving forward, hopefully getting wrapped up one of these days.
Okay. Emergency management met. When did we meet? We met in the afternoon on the 2nd. And Mark had a laundry list because we hadn't met for a while, so I'm not going to go through it all. I'll just give you, just basically some highlights here. Some of the things we'd referred to Building and Grounds that had to do with the facilities. There was a referral to 911
Regarding 911 address signs to Road and Bridge, again, Mark, there's some infrastructure issues with some grant monies that are coming in for needing to move sirens in different locations. There's some storm spotter training coming up on the March 21st at the Homestead. All hazards mitigation plan, there's a mandatory meeting that's going to take place at the Extension office March 17th. Just all kinds of marks. We hadn't met for a couple months, so I kind of waited until we had the new board on there. Safety committee. There's a letter that's came out from NIRMA regarding some of the fire exits marking, inventory, evacuation maps. So Mark's working on that as our safety officer. And then there was a safe community project, which was there's going to be a formal announcement about that that's going to come out. So I don't want to preempt anything. So all kinds of activities, and we come out of a few more things that we need to do. So busy meeting.
One other thing that Matt we touched on. Mark did take us over and look at the one room where there was an issue with the heating and air system, and that is on the punch list here. And we should have conveyed to them too when they were here today that they need to make sure they keep their thumb on people and get that job done. We mentioned it in building grounds the other day to WEM, but they do need to make sure where there is temperature sensitive equipment.
Well, even our heating equipment that we have in our offices don't operate correctly. I mean, they kick off. We can't get them to regulate. None of them work right. They had talked about even trying to build some kind of a louver thing to get it, because apparently, isn't that right, Dave, that they think it's because the thermostat thing is internal, it just kicks it off, it won't regulate right.
So that's not a minor issue.
We told them, but then I myself have told them that, and I know we talked to Dave about it way back when. So
their surety bond isn't that high.
Yeah.
Okay. Terry?
Two things I have. Monday night I attended a Boswell meeting with the city council, basically, and at that time we approved phase four for construction, for the final construction at the landfill there at the present site. And I believe the timetable on that present site will be over with or filled up in 2018. So down the road, there's a bunch of different options that'll have to be studied. One thing that came up was possibly open up a C&D dump site across the road, which they already own now. Because a lot of this landfill going on this side is construction and demolition waste, where they're saying they could go down there and save that existing site longer. Because I know some of the cost they were throwing out there to develop the new site over there is astronomical. I know that. They also talked basically a little bit about, well, maybe we should look at maybe going to a David City, another plan down the road. So, but down the road, that's something we're looking at there, maybe going right there right now and opening up a C&D dump site there. Discussion came up, you would be in competition with a private contractor, which everybody had to think about. So that's where that went. We also had a meeting with the Marlins people down at Valentino's. I think that all went well. Quite a bit of discussion back and forth. We got to meet everybody. So I think we're starting to develop maybe a relationship there with the people down there. They've all suggested we come down there more often. I mean, even in a few mailings we've got, everybody wants more exposure down there, us down there. So probably something we should look at doing. I mean, anybody here, I think that's what some of the help's requesting, maybe some more visitation. And then Marlin's basically also came up signs, bigger markings for all the county vehicles, road county vehicles. I think Martin's going to take care of that. Get new signs or better signs and put them on there, because most of them aren't marked very well anymore. So other than that, oh, the 10-hour days, 8-hour days, discussion came up again quite often. I think that's probably coming up the next meeting, is it? I think Marlon was going to give us a study, just basically how the people felt. You know, it might be a moot point if everybody said, I'd rather stay 8s, maybe that'd be the thing to do, because there's a lot of things that came up. Well, you know, if it rains this day, but that could be a hassle. I don't know everybody's feeling on that, but I think that's coming up down the road, the 4-10s, 5-8s. I don't have a recommendation yet what I'd prefer on that to see, you know, so I think Marlon's going to come back with a few more options on that. That's basically it.
Okay. Any other committee reports? I'd like a motion to go into closed session and discuss personnel issues.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman.
You want to like specify that, you know, to protect needless harm, so that
to protect needless harm of personal reputation.
There you go.
Vote 7-0 to approve. No action will come out of this either. So.
Okay, I'm ready.
Need a motion to come out of executive session. So moved. Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order of the Gage County Board of Supervisors? Meeting adjourned, 11:53. Thank you, everyone.
Oh, what?